Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
The invasion.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Good evening and welcome to Plato's Cave, coming to you live on WZZR from Australia for Revolution Radio on Revolution.radio. No longer freedomslips.com, but revolution.radio. Okay, just remember that. Freedomslips.com address no longer gets you to the right place. Today is the 14th of March, 2023 of the Common Era. Common Era. Who's Common Era, I'd like to know. Now, Plato's Cave is home to fresh, relatively uncensored ideas. Mostly uncensored. In fact, completely uncensored, except for the things we just won't talk about, because we need to start our cars in the morning. Also, great chats in the chat room. Come in there. I don't think I'm in there right now, but I'm getting there. Hoi, bay. Hang on. Yeah, join. Boom, bang. I'm in there. Critically important, of course, is the fact that the station is not sponsored by any interest group, lobby group, government group, non-government group, big business, small business, medium business, any business, but rather by you, the individual listener. So if you can afford to donate, that would be great. Any form of currency, crypto, fiat, gold, silver, bottle caps, whatever you have. Now, I know things are tough all over. And look, they really are. And I know this as well as anyone else. So it means you maybe can't donate. It's okay. Tell your friends and family about the station, about this show. Maybe you like the show. Tell them about the show. It's a good show. It's a show that goes. We talk. It's about stuff, right? Stuff is good, right? the show about nothing and everything. I'm going to get sued for that one. But really, really important that you tell your friends and family, because one of those guys and girls and other might donate if they can. Okay? And I'm all for all-inclusive inclusions of every proclivity there might be. I'm good. I'm a card-carrying member of the Inclusion Society. That's me, baby. You can catch the Cape Pony online and on your smart device or grab an app to listen anywhere or listen at home on a grace table up to your radio. I still have to buy one of those. Yeah, he says, if you can afford it. And what is really cool, though, is that the archives are free. The archives are completely gratis, umsonst, and nothing to pay before, after, or during. So you can just go there and listen to your heart's content. Be my guest. Be my guest. Be my guest. Be my guest. And that's why I speak on the radio and don't sing. But before we start broadcasting at you in anger, we would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land from which we broadcast. Okay?
Darking Jung.
Thank you, sir. And for me here in rainy Hemaway today, It's the Dark People. And with that, we'd like to pay our respects to elders past, present, and future. And no, it is not gimmick. Wow, Dave, how was the cast that go around in circles?
Oh, they're awesome, actually.
Oh, nice.
They're it's the Mustang versus the Camaro, the American cars now.
All I'm hearing is mustard and ketchup. That's what I heard.
Mustard, yeah. And we don't make any vehicles anymore.
No, we don't. Not a one. And we had
very difficult to raise a brand that you make when you don't make it.
Yeah, it's ludicrous. We had an iconic, you hate it, you love them, I don't care, maybe you're indifferent to it, but we had an iconic car brand in Australia, the Holden. The Holden was an iconic car brand, okay? It was an extension of General Motors, like Opel is in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It was here for decades, I'd say.
And it was customized.
Yeah.
It wasn't, the body from somewhere else. This was, they were made here for our conditions.
Yes. Yes. And they are different. Trust me. I remember coming to Australia for the first time. They had sort of kind of visors kind of things on the side window that sort of keeps the dust and wind out of your car. That was
They're called weather shields on the windows. Yeah. But on the over the front window, there was a visor on the outside. Because the sun here is hot.
It's hot, hot. It's so hot. Oh, my God.
But mind you, when they had the visor, they didn't have air conditioning.
Air conditioning, well, you're kind of sissy. Come on. What are you doing, eh? I had a friend living in Singapore, right? And Singapore never gets below 30, and it's humid. And he's a white fella. He was a white fella. So... of Anglo-Saxon extraction, it's very fair. But he refused to turn on the air conditioning in his apartment. There was a pool right outside, which was pretty cool. I mean, in Singapore, they designed those apartment complexes quite nicely and quite well. But so he said, no, I don't need the air conditioning. So I sat there, right? I came to visit him. I love Singapore. I love the heat. I love the humidity. But I also love sitting in the air conditioning. I do really enjoy that. And he, we're not going to do that. Okay, then I said, fair enough. And as I was sweating through his couch.
I'll see you later.
Oh, look, it's a sofa. Let's ring it out. But I'm glad you had a good time, my friend.
It was really good. And it's because there'll be a few events through the year that I'll attend. But it wasn't without controversy, but there's no need to do that. Okay. But rather, I have to say, the Hilltop Hoods, if you don't know who they are, they had a great show, full of energy. My goodness.
Okay.
So there was a concert on Friday night and Saturday night. I stayed for those. I wasn't there on Friday. My friend stayed for those. And he'd come up from Melbourne to stay with me so he could stay for free, like we did when we went to the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. And... well worth the ticket price, you know. And it's good to see, like, you know what? You can watch it on the telly all you like, right? I'll tell you, being there and smelling the E85 being burned, which don't argue is only 15% regular fuel and the rest is carbon recyclable fuel. Remember that, 85% of the fuel that race cars use is recycled carbon fuel. You've just got to remember that. Anyway.
I'll never forget it.
I know you won't. But I have to say, Mackie, that all of that fun was kind of...
Too much? Uncalled for? Too soon?
No.
I went down the wrong way, didn't I?
Where I was going was different. It was kind of, I don't know, pushed into the background by, what was it, SVB?
Oh, yeah, actually, I wanted to go there as well. Did that affect your the race? Surely not.
No, but from a global news perspective, and then there's a second bank that fails.
Correct.
And then there's, yeah. I think, there's countries around the world that had investments in these banks, right? There's a country specifically that had, it's measly compared to a country's wealth, but, you know, 243 million. In one of the banks, and I heard, Megan, that any deposit up to $250,000 will be dealt with immediately and you'll be reimbursed.
Yes.
Anything over that, good luck.
Including anything from overseas investors that might not be reimbursed. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's understand what happened here, right? This was a bank, the Silicon Valley Bank was a bank that dealt almost exclusively with tech startups or tech companies. If you have a good idea, if you needed some capital, they would usually give you the money.
That's right.
Yeah. And other people would, deposit their money there because they thought that's really good investment, for their money. That's, it's a good return, et cetera. Now, that's pretty good. Now, this is a global thing, and a lot of people – a lot of companies, tech companies in the UK were investing in that bank. That's why HSBC purchased, with help, the UK arm of the bank, and only the UK arm, so we're clear here.
Oh.
Okay, so HSBC did buy SVB in the UK. Because the UK read about it, has become the third largest IT tech IP country in the world. After China and the United States. Yeah, it's quite something. But the point is that the impact is not just on the financial markets, which it is, but also on potentially our technology investments, right? Depending on where we end up with this thing and how much money can be recovered, et cetera, it is possible, right, that tech companies, especially, the bright young ones, the new ones, the great ideas, could just simply disappear. That's a possibility here, right? The second bank, which dealt in very similar, investments in New York, also failed soon after. And you know what the funny thing is, Dave? Not funny,
not
is probably a word. Not ha-ha funny, right?
No.
What happened is that it was because of interest rates. The rising interest rates necessitated for SVB, to raise, I think, $2.1 billion. Because they also have to pay more interest on their stuff.
That's right.
But they couldn't. They couldn't do it.
Not like in Australia, where they didn't put the interest rates up on savings accounts, they increased the loan repayment rate.
Yeah, but they should have, but they didn't. So SVB couldn't raise the
capital.
Couldn't raise the capital. Now, this is, you need to understand that hand up if you know what a bank run is.
Oh, I know what a bank run is. Pepsi, I'm right in the front, Mickey. Oh, pick me.
Yeah, pick me. I'll just give the really quick rundown. go ahead, Dave. What's a bank run?
When people attempt to withdraw their money from a bank in cash, because transferring out doesn't do anything. And you drain the bank's ability to pay people because they only have a certain amount of cash.
Right. So it's every depositor everywhere all at once. That's a bank run. And a real bank run is when they do it to all the banks in the world. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, in order for this not to happen, because the signs were there, right? What the regulators were afraid of was that this bank is going to fail, but it's going to fail in such a spectacular fashion that there will be a bank run, which will then cascade into a run on all the banks.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't act like rational players once there's panic. And there's blood in the air, we just react. Panic. Okay. Yeah. So and they actually lost against bank runs. And banks can shut down. But having said that, if a bank does not have enough cash, it has to be cash, to pay out its depositors
mm-hmm.
on any given day before closing, 6 p.m. or whatever the closing time is, that bank is gone.
That's right.
Bank is gone. That's honest. That's just the rules, okay? So and that's what was going to happen to SVB.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the regulator stepped in. And it's at Silicon Valley Bank. It's no longer trading.
I think the app name is the E-regulators.
The E-regulators. So that's what happened. And the Americans already said, the politicians, we're not going to bail the bank out. It's not going to happen.
Mm.
But we will guarantee smaller depositors. And, you know, that's good. But it is really the interest rates, okay? The interest rates that affected the bank. Okay.
Well, it's like, Mickey, the same thing, right? It affects the government. So the government borrowed a ton of money. When interest rates go up, they will never be able to repay that money back. Even if it was at zero, just special because it makes rates for the government, they still wouldn't be able to pay the money back. It exasperates the problem by putting it up. But then I saw today the issued statement from their federal bank saying, well, you know, this bank crash has kind of put a hold to inflation, so there probably won't be any more increases.
Yeah.
Now, there's also talk about digital currency.
There is, because, see, this is the great thing about digital currency. There can't be a bank run.
That's right.
Or, it's a lot harder for a bank run to occur because it is digital.
But you're not extracting money. Say, there's nowhere to extract money to.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. And there's actually three banks that failed. There's Signature, no. which is the one in New York. There's SVB. Right. Yeah. And then there's also Silvergate.
Oh, no.
Okay. That's also gone. So, that actually comes on the heels of, you know, the cryptocurrency exchange, FTX?
Mm-hmm.
That just recently went under.
Oh yeah, that went belly. Yep.
Okay. So.
But I think they absconded with the money. I think that was their deal.
Yeah.
Well, I know. It's a legend.
Yeah.
So, with the push for the Great Reset, oh how wonderful it is. What's going to happen is where I think we'll see more of these, we could call them false flags, right? Or indicators that this their mission is being accomplished. Because they didn't waste a minute before announcing the digital currency, the flow-on effects. Look, we can solve stuff. Hey. No more interest rate rises. And if you need a couple of banks to fail so you don't have to put the interest rates up again, hey, I think we're onto a winner.
See, but it's also a war on crypto. I want to share this here with you.
Oh, yeah. Do you see crypto burst? It's like 1,000x right now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen in the last year seen 10% increase in a day in crypto. It's just been a slow draining of crypto value. Like I've lost half of my investment, right?
I got to say, I've never actually invested in crypto ever.
I mined it rather than putting money into it. I made it just self-generate money for me. Mm. But I've lost about half, and that's reasonable. I really didn't do anything to put the money in, so it wasn't much value anyway. But it, nonetheless, I noticed that you couldn't start, you couldn't trade anything. Yeah. You couldn't get out of the crypto to move it somewhere else. It was just.
But do you know why? Let me.
I want you to tell me.
Now, the thing is this. This looks like a war on crypto, but it also looks like that the banks that might not like crypto have overshot on their market, and this could have a devastating effect on the rest of the banking sector, because it's all intertwined anyway. So anyway, I want to share this with you. Silvergate Capital, which is a central lender to the crypto industry, said on this Wednesday, that it would be winding down operations and liquidating its bank. Silicon Valley Bank, a major lender to startups, collapsed on Friday after depositors withdrew more than $42 billion. And that's a run. Yeah. Following the bank's Wednesday statement that it needed to raise $2.25 billion. See, as soon as there's water in the blood, people just react.
Okay. There's water in the blood?
Blood in the water. Well, there could be some water in the blood. In fact, our oceans should be all blood. I'm for a blood ocean. Who's with me? Hurrah! So they needed to raise $2.25 billion to shore up its balance sheet.
Slayer. Yeah,
because they made some losses due to the high interest rates they had on the sale of assets.
That's right.
Anyway, Signature, which also had a strong crypto focus, but was much larger than Silvergate, was seized on Sunday evening by banking regulators. Signature and Silvergate were the two main banks for crypto companies, and nearly half of all U.S. venture-backed startups kept cash with Silicon Valley Bank, including crypto-friendly venture capital funds and some digital assets firms. So that's where we are. This is the situation. This is the landscape, everybody. Okay, you might not hear about it or read about it, but this is what happened. And I fear, Dave, that this is just the beginning. Because what better way to start a crisis of confidence in our system that might, result in a new system via the method of reset, but to cripple the banking system. I mean, it's phenomenal what you can achieve.
I think the war is between the two systems, yeah. So between traditional banking and crypto. As soon as you start to see cash die, people jump on crypto. When you see the market, between the three of them, the stock market isn't doing tremendous, right?
And so, no, because it's effective, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So between the three of them, people are jumping money around to continue profiting, and they're not taking it out and hoarding it. And that's a big sign.
Look, it is. Absolutely. But the thing is this, the only difference between cryptocurrency and fiat currency is that fiat currency is backed by the government. That's it. There's no more reality in fiat currency than there is in cryptocurrency. Okay, you could argue there's probably less, but
Have you heard of stable coins?
Yeah, I have. Well, that was massively affected.
Yeah, that's right. And they're meant to be more useful than more volatile cryptocurrencies as a medium is how they're described. But when you have a government backing a digital currency, then that's a fourth definition of a crypto or digital currency, right? And I think just calling something a stable coin and having it backed by something is how fiat currency got off the ground. So it's just an agreed value, right? Then it would initially to borrow money from a bank, they had to have a percentage of that amount of wealth they owned. Remember the gold-backed currencies, Becky. And now, I mean, crypto's not backed by anything, just electricity. That's it, and a password. There isn't anything else.
It takes
so ridiculously long with blockchain to make a transaction in, say, Bitcoin, for instance, 20 minutes. So you can't use it anymore. It's so having expiry dates on digital currency and blockchain to secure it means that you won't get into that situation. It's impossible. If the coin with that blockchain expires of use, so yes, you pass it on to someone else and it resets that time frame that they get. Isn't that extraordinary?
It's interesting. It's an interesting solution to a problem of oversupply of money.
Yeah.
Inflation, as it were.
I support just typing numbers into my bank account if you can. Let's get to that. Let's skip all this rubbish and just get straight into that bit.
just more zeros.
But
look, there is no reality to any currency in the world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There is no longer even a legal requirement in Australia, for example, to keep a cash reserve against anything you lend.
That's right.
It's no longer required. In America, I think it's like 3% you have to keep in reserve. Now, see, what that means, though, is that if people did want to take out the money, so if you want to take out your money, right, and you're the first one to do it, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. If everybody wanted to take out the money and you're not the first to do it.
If you're not the first 3%, that's right, in value. Yep.
And you're screwed because the bank will collapse. And guess what? Once it's collapsed without any bailouts or whatever, your money is gone.
And everybody's money is gone.
Yes. If we ever see a global bank run, that's good night, everybody.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
We have seen it in countries where with runaway inflation, good Lord. I think Turkey went through two currency reforms. Germany went through a currency reform in 1949, where it moved from one currency, the Reichsmark, to Deutschmark.
That's what I was going to get you to explain what currency reform means. It just means when you call it a new currency and make new notes with a new value.
Yeah, and you give it a sensible value. I mean, what happened in a lot of countries where there was
Nigeria with their trillion-dollar notes or something.
That's stupid. Right. So what they say is, you know what? Stop. We stop right now. Stop. Mm-hmm. We're gonna burn all the money that we have. Right, all the old money, we'll burn it, right? We'll give people a chance to exchange it. But we're going to start as of, I don't know, whatever, you know, day dot. We're going to start with a new currency. And it's going to be worth this much. Again, packed against the dollar.
Trillion rand is going to be $1.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck to you. And that's what happened a number of times in a number of countries. And that's what you have to do when you have too much money in the economy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a problem of wages. It's not a problem of even... I don't know, spending per se, not really, because people will just spend, right? But if you put more and more money into the economy, the goods and services, unless they increase in the same fashion as your money supply, they will become more expensive. Mm-hmm. So things will become more, that's inflation. Okay, so we've talked about this before. It's probably boring to you guys, but let me just be clear that what is being offered as a solution up until this point, the increased interest rates.
Yeah.
That's like saying, oh, my doctor, I've got a toothache. Well, lucky I've got an Exocet missile. You just hold still. Open wide. Hold still. It has about the same effect on the economy, right? So because interest rates is a hammer or an Exocet missile, it is not a scalpel. And what we need to do here is we need to have sensible monetary and fiscal policy. Okay, we have to reduce the real money supply in the economy. So that means governments have to stop printing money. And, well, you know, this is the thing. We have to actually do away with interest rates. If you want to have a healthy
mm-hmm.
economy,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to have a healthy economy, we must get rid of interest rates.
Yep.
Now, this sounds alien, right? This sounds like, oh, clearly Mackey's gone off his rocker. Believe it or not, there are economies in the world and history that didn't have an interest rate scenario. It just didn't exist. I mean, people never used to borrow money. I mean, kings used to borrow money, right?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen until a bit later in the game. If you know what happens if empires run out of money? They went to war. They went to plunder other people.
That's right.
The Romans were really good at that.
They just take someone else's money.
Yeah, but they couldn't print more money because the Roman currency was gold. What they did do was they watered down the gold content of the coins, which sort of led to inflation in later years of the Roman Republic, which you know became a bit of a laughing stock. But this what we're doing here is it's complete fantasy. It's ridiculous. It's fraud. It's a crime, and we're all the victims. All of us. We're victims of this. And you know what's worse? Look at the obscene profits that most banks still.
I know, get. Right?
I mean,
$5 billion in the half yearly figures just for one of our banks.
Not revenue. Profit. Profit. And that's the population of 26 million people. How? I mean, if you don't think that people are being ripped off. Oh, by the way, I got a letter recently, Dave.
Turns out,
yeah, look, I purchased a, I think it was income protection back in the noughties, right? From
yes.
Westpac.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm not part of a class action because of some shady doings that had to do with the product that I purchased. So I could get all my $800 back. But yeah, I'm going to be rich. No, but it's nice to see that happens, you know? These class actions against banks when something is you know, shifty, shady, or maybe you know, outright illegal. And we don't see enough of that. I true justice, right, is a complete fallacy. There's just nothing in this world that would ever give us justice for anything.
Okay. Did you know that your $5.5 billion profit means that every of the 26 million people gave the bank $2,100, right? $2,100.
I know.
And that's profit. So, I mean, they rob you blind is what they're doing. There shouldn't be any reason for them to. Do you remember this used to be the Commonwealth Bank? It was owned by the government initially.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's kind of not fair, right? It's not fair. And they make up money using the Federal Reserve Bank, right? Just to blink money into. It's like married to a genie. Just blink money into existence.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
It's not fair. And did I just, for everyone's sake, all of the recent wars actually installed a central bank into those countries.
Yep.
Why?
Oh, that had nothing to do with anything, Dave. What are you talking about?
Oh, really?
I love the leader.
Oh, well, I love the leader.
And I love the banking consortium of good people.
I love the oil companies. I love the AI, the leader, and yes, the banking industry is the whole of the industry. I just love it. Oh, what a tremendous thing that they do for us,
isn't it? Isn't it though?
Yes, it do.
Yeah, I mean, where do you go from here? I mean, what do you say to all of this stuff, Dave? I mean, you couldn't write this stuff, you couldn't make it up, and yet here we are again, right?
That's right.
This this is after all the banking reforms over the last 20 years, you know, all the things that we said would never happen again, blah, 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 blah.
It's merry-go-round. That's what it is.
It is. And
I still had my train derailment lights up. I didn't know that it was bank run week.
I was still on sudden Russian death syndrome. I was still thinking about that one.
That's why I had my blood clot decorations up.
The footlong ones.
That's right.
It's yeah.
I love those.
And then you've got China taking an extremely aggressive stance. We have to build a wall of steel. Yeah, fair enough.
A bleak view, I was going to say. Yeah,
it's not surprising. Yeah, and I understand why China is doing what China is doing. Mm-hmm. If you look at the history of the 19th century and the history of the British Empire, the Germans didn't cover themselves in glory there either, but we have tried to subjugate the Chinese for a long time. You know, we used opium, for that in the olden days. And that actually worked pretty well until Mao came along and said, no more, that's it. I mean, it's the West that made China communist, believe it or not. It was our oppression of the Chinese and our exploitation as well, and having entire populations addicted to opium, that sparked Mao's anger, I want to say, or need to act. And then he went on his long march to the capital, and in every city he stopped, he killed all the drug dealers and all the drug addicts. Right? That's what he did. And for the longest time, China was just, I don't want to see any Western people. I don't want to have nothing to do with Western people. It's just leave us alone. But funny, now though, America and China are completely codependent. Yeah, I look at them and I see a dysfunctional marriage where they beat each other up. This is not one person beating on one another, but they're both beating on each other. And whenever the opportunity presents itself, stick the knife in. Oh, you get my shift. Because China holds the largest quantity of American currency bonds. It is also a massive net importer of American goods, especially high-priced luxury goods, believe it or not. And America, of course, is a massive net importer of Chinese, not luxury goods, but mass-produced cheap stuff, because that's the way the cookie crumbles. And it is almost inconceivable to think of those two going to war because of the codependency. No nation on this planet makes all the stuff it needs anymore, right? A lot of the stuff that we consume is made in a country. Like China makes a lot of stuff. India makes a lot. India and Bangladesh make a lot of clothes, right? So Vietnam as well, and some South American countries make a lot of clothes. 95% of all the buttons in the world come from a little town in Turkey, right? But the vast majority of almost all consumer goods are coming out of China. Almost 95% of all chips and memory modules come out of Taiwan. Japan still produces massive amounts of cars and consumer electronics. Korea is coming close as well. But in other countries, I tell you what, not much is happening. Not much is happening. It's just cheaper to make your money somewhere else, right? And Dave and I, we talked about this when it happened. We looked at the pandemic, right? And then the COVID was swinging to the world. And we said, surely, and we were talking about this, right? I remember. Surely there has to be some sensible thought here about bringing back production on shore.
Yeah.
Surely somebody
has to see that there's a risk, and to mitigate the risk, what do you need to do? Bring it back. That's right. Yeah.
It didn't happen.
No. Too hard, Mickey. It
didn't happen.
Nope.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Too hard.
How?
How is it not a thing? That's right.
Yeah. But it didn't. So here we are. And
we're still here.
We're still here. We're still caught in the same quagmire. If it came to a war, right? Let's say, the global economy would collapse in the first 24 hours completely. You think people were fighting over toilet paper and that was bad? You see what happens.
There's only one can of beans left. I'm left. There's nothing else. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be tough. That's why I'm still thinking, how real is this thing, right? Well, it all depends on how you view the world. And here in Plato's Cave, we think, it's all a big puppet show anyway. And they're just about to kick over the board, the game board. They're just about to kick it over because they want the great Dave?
Reset.
Ah, don't say it so loud. Yeah, that's it. They want the Great Reset. To what end? Oh, well, you know, it's just, you know, better for us. Thank you.
Where they win all the time.
That's
all they want.
I like winning. I like winning.
Winning's good.
And there's not much time left to do something about that. I mean, we all watched, what was it? Girl on Fire, whatever that, the Hunger Games, that's it. Hunger Games.
Girl on Fire, right.
Yeah, no, that was the thing.
That was a working title. Yeah.
It's a working title. We're all fascinated by it. We find it entertaining that, you know, at some point there was some kind of apocalypse or some kind of, you know, a massive event that shook up civilization, which gave rise to Pan Am. In the different districts in America, and we don't hear much about the rest of the world. And we take it as entertainment. Oh yeah, that's entertainment. Or The Handmaid's Tale, right? You know, where a good portion of the United States becomes locked down in a Sharia-like state, except Christian. You know, where religion triumphs everything, and there's a bit of a problem with fertility, and anyway, you should read the book or watch the TV show if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's interesting. And we take it as entertainment. We think, oh yeah, that's interesting. No, it's just, this is future history, guys. It's future history. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to happen exactly like that. But what do you think the world is going to look like in 100 years, in 1,000 years, in 2,000 years? One thing is for sure, it won't look like this. That I can guarantee it. I can guarantee you that what we have today is not going to be around in 100 years or in 1,000 years or, God forbid, in 2,000 years. It'll be a very different planet, and it'll be a very different political landscape as well globally. So just remember that this is not a static scenario. Change is rolling with us. It's rolling. Oh, no.
All of our borders changed, like, every 100 years.
Yeah.
It's been
look
something.
Look at the map.
Happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Look. In fact, fantastic point, Dave. Look at a map of 100 years ago.
Yep.
Look at a map. And look at a map of 2,000 years ago. If you were a citizen of the Roman Empire and time traveled 2,000 years into the future to today, so let's say you lived around the time of the birth of Christ or whatever, and then you catapulted to the year 2023, you wouldn't know, even in Rome, right, you wouldn't know what hit you.
That's right.
Like, what is going on by Jupiter? Similarly for us, if we could somehow, you know, project ourselves 2,000 years into the future, we wouldn't know what was going on, right? And I don't care how good your imagination is, you will not know what hit you when you get there. So, you know, it's a romantic notion that, you know, we want to be time travelers. But I tell you what, you want to be a hardy creature to be a time traveler. And you've got to have some backup plans, plenty.
That's right. But, you know, I've given this example before, but we wouldn't be able to communicate with ourselves that far in the future.
Correct.
It just has to be recognized, right?
Look at Shakespeare's English,
500
years, roughly, right? Thereabouts. I have an easier time reading it than any of you. Well, not any of you, most of you, because I'm German. Right?
Yep.
And half of what he writes is German. So I'm good. thou hast.
That's right.
Du hast, you have. We still say it that way.
The Germanic languages were the way that everyone could communicate together. English, I think it adopted something like between 10 and 15,000 words during that period. And because trade was rife, everyone spoke a very similar language and could be understood.
Yes, the borders. Well, look. While the the large population didn't travel all that much. There was a lot of trade. Traders by river, by sea, on land, they would cover enormous distances. And there would be, you know, entire trading trains, caravans that would go around, you know, because that's what happened. That's how people got around in the olden days, you know. And language was more fluid because the borders were more fluid. And people, even though a lot of them were, you know, quite sedentary, they moved around a lot more. The people movements, you know, 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, they were quite significant. There was a lot of movement, right? You get the invasions of the Huns and the Tatars,
and what happened to Tartaria?
What happened? What? The Mongols? Yeah, Tartaria. Look, it's a thing. If you like to read Jules Verne, read The Courier of the Tsar. Gael Strogoff, who is in fact relaying a message to the Tsar's brother in the novel, who is under siege by the Tatars. Tartaria is a thing. Now, I don't know if everything that's being shared
today
regarding,
is
a thing, but I can assure you that just like the Khazar Empire, the Tartarian empire, let's call it, for want of a better word, is a thing as well. There are things. They are. I mean, there were so many. See, this is another classical omission. We know nothing in reality of the South American cultures, even of the African cultures that were coexistent with the colonizers of
mm-hmm.
Britain and Germany and France, right? So the last 2,000 years, the last 5,000 years, we are very Eurocentric in our learning. Okay? We know very little about the Asian cultures. I mean, we didn't. Angkor Wat is a perfect example. We think it's just this small area, right? It was massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely.
It was gigantic. In the Amazon, they found they had populations. The cities were bigger than in Europe at the same time.
Yeah, in the millions, yeah.
With irrigation and sophisticated agriculture, et cetera, right? But we don't talk about it because we colonized them. When I say we, I'm talking about the Western powers, right? We brought them civilization. I mean, look at us, right?
That's right.
We brought them smallpox and syphilis. Hurrah.
More blankets.
Give me those blankets. it's a tragic omission that our history doesn't teach us anything about it in school. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I've always been a history buff. I love history, but most of the history of the world, I would learn on my own once I had left school, because they don't teach you. It's almost simplistic in its approach. It's a linear approach, and we came from the caves in the Stone Age, and then we steadily progressed. We steadily progressed, which is of course a nonsense. If the Greek city-states, right, had prevailed and hadn't, you know, well, pretty much self-destructed about, you know, 2,500 years ago, we would be so much more advanced in the fields of science, especially physics and mathematics, than we are today. So much. I mean, to be honest, if the Hellenic civilization had become the dominant one in Europe, let's just spitball this, we would have gone to the moon 1,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. Just for a second. Because the base science and math already existed. They had very sophisticated machinery already.
Yeah.
The only thing that was missing, really, was advanced and exotic materials, which would come with, you know, research and experimentation.
Yeah.
So it we would be 1,000 years ahead of where we are today, easily. Right? And in fact, go back to Babylonian times, Sumerian times. They had math, advanced math,
mm-hmm.
okay? Irrigation and agriculture and all that stuff. They had, they worked in
what
metals.
What about Etikythera, Mackie?
Oh, look, and this is, thank you. It's my favorite thing, right? So 2,000 years ago, this ship transporting olives goes down near the island of Antikythera. in the Aegean Sea, right, off the coast of Greece. And then 2,000 years later, in the early 20th century, there's some sponge divers that bring up a whole bunch of stuff from the bottom of the Mediterranean, right? And amongst those things was little rusted nothing. As you all know, the mechanism of Anacaethera is actually a star computer, a star chart which helps you navigate. Now, what people have said is that that's the only one that was ever made. That's it.
Yeah.
The sheer bloody mindedness. So there's a ship that is transporting olives and wine, like not gold and silver, right? And this ship happens to have this star computer for navigation purposes, right? It happens to have it. And then it goes down in a storm, right? Now the odds of us finding the only ever existing mechanism of Antikythera, the star computer, in that shipwreck are so vanishingly small that if you do find it, you should also purchase a lottery ticket and put all of your life savings into that ticket. All your life savings should go into the ticket. That's what you should do. Because it's not even a needle in a haystack. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to sea, right? And I don't know how many of you have been to the Mediterranean. Now, I grew up in Europe and spent a lot of time on the Mediterranean, going from Italy to Turkey on ships and whatever. It's a big, big puddle of water. But if you look at the global map, it's a puddle, right? But it's a big. Once you're there, it's a big puddle of water. And finding anything at all.
The chance of finding anything in there, yeah, that's right.
It's vanishingly small. So I find it astounding that people can't accept the truth, which must be, by applying logic, that there must have been a lot of those star computers in circulation. Which would explain,
find the only one that happened that, you know, they claim would have been the prototype of it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Completely, because it was a finished product. There was nothing to be improved upon.
That's now, right.
It would explain how the Phoenicians traveled well beyond the Mediterranean. It would explain why we find Egyptian artifacts in Australia. Because there was a massive seafaring civilization that used these navigational computers, let's call them, to get around. So the theory was, for the longest time when I was studying history, is that until the invention of the compass and the sextant, and more likely the sextant, we could not get out of eyesight of the coastline because we were navigating the coastline. Okay. Now I believe that's complete nonsense because we've learned now that there were much more sophisticated seafarers out there than we give them credit for. But yeah, Dave. Think about that. The mechanism of Antikythera, nothing would come along for another 1,500 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Of that complexity, like a watch mechanism, I mean, right?
Yeah.
Before anything of similar complexity would come along. So we lost maybe not even 1,000, maybe we lost 1,500 years, right?
Yep.
So,
and we've got 4 minutes.
And we're going to lose those very quickly as well. thank you. But it is, I mean, the narrative is just, it's a lie. We're being lied to every day. By everybody, pretty much. And most people don't even know. Is it a lie if you don't know that you're lying? That's a good question. well, you know, because you believe it. If you believe you've been lied to, then you just perpetuate the lie. Right? But you don't know it's a lie. You just think that's what it is, but it isn't, but it's a lie. But what if someone told you it was a lie and you insist that what your lie is the truth? Well, you know, a lot of philosophers have said a very interesting thing. There's a number of them. I can't remember all of them, but this is the essence of what they said. Whenever I find, and I think this was actually Mark Twain, whenever I find myself, I'd be wrong, on the side of the majority, it is time to rethink my position.
Wow.
Pretty clever. I think it was Mark Twain, but I could be wrong. Come on, everybody. Let's just wake up here, shall we? Why not? It's good. It's good to wake up. Not woke, though. I don't want you to woke.
No, don't. No, that's bad.
Be awake, not a woke.
Yes, not a woke.
But, yeah, look, don't go anywhere. Mitchell Bubb is coming up with his show, which is awesome. Takes you through the morning. He's got a great yeehaw, the best in the business, I want to say. This is listener-funded radio, which means please donate if you can. If you can't, tell your friends and family about the station so some of them can donate if they can afford it. And the archives are free, like we said. That's public service. In fact, I like to think of this entire station as a public service. And I think that's what Nighthawk had in mind. Right? I don't think he founded the station to make money. It would be nice to make money, but he did it as a public service. He felt that he had to do this. Yeah. And he assembled a whole bunch of really good people to carry a vast array of, you know, quite different messages as well. I mean, we are very different from other shows, and other shows are very different from us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's okay, because that's the platform for diversity here, right? But yeah, look, if you can donate, please do. Bear in mind that none of the hosts get paid. This is all pro bono work. So we don't encourage trolls. We won't feed them. But if you feel that you need to troll, that's okay. I get it. I dig it. But you might not get a response. That's all, because I've come to the realization that it is completely pointless.
It is
to cyber argue with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you want to listen to this? Listen to this. Listen to Dave and myself. Listen to us. That's cool. Happy to have you listen. You don't agree with it? That's cool too. You can say that. That's fine. But I'm not going to entertain a flaming war with anyone. I used to. I know you did as well, Dave. I know you did.
I know.
But it is completely pointless.
But what did you learn? You learned that there's you can't give anyone information that changes their mind, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Even if they've gotten to where they are in error. Oh, the music's gonna start any second.
Cool. Look. That was our, you know, exit speech, but the most important thing, be safe and stick around for Mitchell Bob. He's going to take you through the morning, like I said, to the best E-Hunter business. Alrighty. See you all soon.
To act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Trick Risk, I think. Welcome to the